Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Motocross Training Podcast. Joel Youngkins here, and in today's episode, we're going to cover the 2024 Supercross Prep, Part 1. So for Supercross Prep, we are going to cover my client, Jeremy Han. We're going to cover his preseason Supercross Prep to the 2024 season. We're going to focus more on the sport practice side of things. I don't coach technical skills of the sport, but sport planning and structure is also a specialty of mine. So like I'm a physical prep coach, but like in the physical prep world, sport planning and structure is, it kind of goes right hand in hand with designing workout routines and elevating someone's fitness. So just as much as I know how to coach somebody up on how to squat or get stronger or improve their conditioning, I also have like that same skill set to plan out, to basically map out practice sessions and planning of from all aspects. But what I don't do is like, I don't tell Jeremy how to hit the whoops. I don't tell them how to, you know, scrub a triple or how to hit a quad. I don't do any of that. If anything, he works a little bit with, Driven MX, another friends of mine that do actually on the bike coaching. So throughout the year, he'll do different periods where he'll ride with them and they can kind of help him with some more actually technical skills on the bike, or just at least have like another set of eyes to help him. But yeah, this episode is going to be more about like the macro side of things, about like what that looks like as far as, you know, his prep is going to lead into Supercross. And I'm not going to get it like lost in the weeds on all the details, but I'll give you a nice overview just so you have some sort of an idea of like, hey, what do racers do? And more specifically, like, how do I coach my racers to get ready for Supercross? Jeremy is a privateer, so he's not a factory level rider. Life from privateers to factory levels, it could be a lot different. You know, the factory, like the, you know, if you're one of these like marquee type racers like Chase Sexton, Jet Lawrence, Eli Tomac, you know, the logistics and the resources that they have is a lot different than privateers, which, you know, is kind of obvious, but there's a lot more structure and routine you can put into place on a factory level. Whereas Jeremy, you know, he's a full-time racer, but he also works at a part-time job at a local cemetery by his house here in Ohio. So with that being said, Jeremy has a lot of great support around him though too. His dad is his mechanic majority of the time. His dad's an awesome mechanic and really knows his stuff. He used to race as well. His name is Carl Hand, and you know, he was a very competitive racer as well, along with his brother Dave Hand. So just, you know, their whole family runs really deep in the motocross world. And you know, with that, Jeremy has some great sponsors that really back him and support him and help get him to the races and do his thing. He has great, you know, he's comfortable with his suspension, person. He's really happy with his motor work people as well. So it's not like he's just kind of, he has a good program, but he's still at a privateer to where we have to really make the time count when he can put the work in to get ready for Supercross. So a little bit of background real quick, for those that don't know, I know I've brought Jeremy up in a few other podcasts before. It's hard not to when he's been a client of mine since 2013. That's when I first started my actual training facility. When I decided to make JYT like an actual facility and turn it into an actual business. He was one of my first clients in that process. Not one of my first clients ever, but just as like an actual business. And at that point, Jeremy was moving up from super mini to schoolboy. He had a couple injuries, and his parents just wanted him to get physically stronger and more fit to move up to the bigger bikes. He's done really well in the outdoors, especially in the 450 outdoors. You know, the last, probably since like 2017, 2018, he's really got a lot of top 20 results in outdoors, had some great years. But I'd say the last like 3 to 4 years, he's really started improving on his Supercross skills. And that's partially because he's actually been able to practice Supercross. He would race in the 250 East, and he would, you know, essentially just show up to the races with like very, very minimal seat time on a Supercross. And it was even to a point where, I'll get into that later, but you know, as far as like the background goes, he finished, as an alternate in the 450 SMX, because he did 450 outdoors, but he did 250 East last year. So he still showed up as like an alternate or whatever they called it for, you know, he wasn't in the top 20, but he was like invited there to go to the LCQs. But he finished, I think, 22nd or something like that overall in points for the SMX. He'll be, for 2024, he'll be number 56. And he's riding for Valley Ford Hand Racing, I believe the name is what they're calling it. And this year, he's going to be a full-time 450 rider from Supercross, Motocross, and to hopefully SMX is the plan. He wants to move up to 450. Yes, more competitive class, but he's just really kind of, I think, gelling with the 450 style better in Supercross. He's done a few 450 main events so far in just Supercross themselves here and there over the past couple seasons, and definitely think he's getting the hang of it. I think he enjoys that class a little better, and also it's going to help him if he can get some points in the 450 Supercross. That will also carry into the Super Motocross as well. So kind of like up to this point, you know, the training that he's kind of had up to this point, his fitness is in a great spot. That's not me just patting myself on the back, but because he's put the work in from literally 2013, you know, he has like 10 solid years of just really good training and a really just long-term approach that's led him into the 2024 season. So now he's over 10 years of work. So his fitness is just in a good place all the time because he's done the work. He doesn't, it's not like it's just this sporadic where he does a little bit here, does a little bit there. He maintains his fitness year round. You know, like I said in other episodes, we'll pull off the brakes a little bit. The work will be a little bit lighter. He'll take a week off here and there, things like that. But for the most part, like Jeremy, his fitness is on point all the time. So that allows him to just keep kind of slowly compounding his fitness abilities every year. So at this point, leading into the season, we're in a great spot. He didn't stop training after Super SMX, and just the years of accumulation, we're sitting pretty good. That's something I don't have to stress about as, you know, his physical prep coach. He did after the Super Motocross, and I think I may have said this a little bit in the last episode. He stayed riding after SMX was over. You know, all through the off season, he stayed active. It was all extensive work, so it was nothing like super draining that he was doing, but he would just go do some ride days. He would go ride at different tracks. He'd go ride with some friends, just did some trail riding even. He even rode a four-wheeler for probably like 2 minutes, and I then gave it back to my other client, Cole Richardson. Jeremy's one of the people that you put him on anything two wheels, he can figure out in about 2 seconds. And look really good on it, no matter what it is. But I guess four-wheelers, something with four wheels. I don't know if it's just a four-wheeler, but I think we found his kryptonite because he was not having it. So I had to throw that one in there. But, yeah, Jeremy's sensational talent as far as just put him on any kind of dirt bike. And there's a reason he's racing pro. Very talented individual. But, yeah, pretty much up until he never really had too much Supercross prep, like barely any at all, like a few laps of Supercross practice up until like prior to the 2022 season. And you know, before it was just kind of like he would show up at a track a little bit, would maybe ride once or twice before East Coast Supercross, and he would go out and he'd show up, and honestly a lot of the times he would kind of make the main, or he would like be like just miss it out of the LCQ. Like he would always like right on the bubble of like getting in the 250 main. And there was even a point where, you know, this is all before 2022, there was a time where, you know, he even had a conversation with Ryan Dungy, and Ryan Dungy was like, you know, I have no idea how you're even out here riding without any Supercross track or prep. So it kind of just goes to show you how talented, you know, these racers are that go out and ride, especially Jeremy, because he was just kind of showing up with, like, kind of hanging on by the seat of his pants and actually pretty much, like, got himself in the main a couple times with, like, zero practice. He just showed up with, you know, his outdoor skills. You know, obviously, you know, he was in great shape, but he just kind of did his thing to make it happen. So yeah, let's talk about the preseason prep though. Now, we'll start getting into some details here. So what we have to look at is, you know, his first actual 450 race isn't going to be till Detroit. So if you're not familiar, we live in Ohio, which is next to Michigan, and Detroit's the first week of February, where he'll race the 450 class. So the series is all pretty much out west, all like in California and I think Arizona. I don't have the schedule memorized out there yet, but I know it's all going to be west. And, you know, he's not going to do the initial west rounds just due to travel, expenses as a privateer. You know, the field is super deep. The first couple races, you know, everybody back to like 12th place thinks they're going to win the championship. And honestly, just logistically speaking, just getting out there, as far as like what it's going to cost and the reality of privateers earning points the first few rounds, aren't looking very good. So it just kind of just gives them an opportunity to kind of prepare, gives them a few more weeks to prepare for the rest of the season. Again, he doesn't have the luxury to fly to every race. He drives himself in a van. You know, so just trying to make smarter logistical reasons for this year at the moment. But the plan is just to do Detroit all the way through SMX. So that's what we're preparing for. He is riding Supercross at, I believe it's the WW Ranch down in Florida. Like I said, we're in Ohio. So Supercross in the winter is just not going to cut it. There's a couple indoor facilities around us, but, and you know, they're great facilities, but they're not Supercross caliber. Like, they could be good enough just to like he rode there a lot, like during the off season, during like the fall, like late fall months, but it's good practice, but it's not the same caliber as like rolling out to Detroit Supercross in February. So you have to go ride a real Supercross track. So yeah, this year I think there's a bunch of people riding down at the WW Ranch. They have a couple Supercross tracks, so that's where his prep will be. And preseason for him really started about 9 weeks out from Detroit. So this equates to like basically 3 weeks of riding, and then now he just got home for Christmas. But he had to come home for Christmas because, again, he works a part-time job, and he had to come back to work for 1 week to fill in for somebody. So this week here for Christmas is going to be, he's home, he'll work a little bit, he'll train a little bit, Christmas, then he'll head back to Florida for another 4 weeks of riding, and then one of those 4 weeks is going to be suspension testing in Texas. So I guess with all that, like, you just have to know those logistics to plan out, you know, what are we doing for his physical prep? His riding needs to line up with that, and his riding takes precedence, and then you know, you kind of fill the gaps in from there. So that gives you, you know, there's 3 weeks, 1 week off really of riding for Christmas, but he'll maintain his physical prep work. And then you have 4 weeks of riding, and then you have the race week, which he'll logistically move back, come back to Ohio, kind of get ready for the racing, and then probably show up to press day. So you kind of, that whole week kind of becomes a wash as far as training goes when it comes to travel and things like that. Plus, he's really not going to be able to ride up here in Ohio the week of Detroit until it probably goes, if he can goes to do press day or practice. So that's sort of the overall planning. And I know it kind of seems like a lot of, like, up to this point, I'm just doing a lot of, like, talking about random details. But, hey, this is training. Like, this is what it looks like. You have to, like, get the information first. What's the background? You know, what's like, what has he done leading up to, you know, where is he at in this moment to get ready for where he wants to go? So there's a lot of details you got to hash out before you even start making a program for somebody. So the weekly structure, this is just going to kind of be, And again, I said this is a part one. I do plan on doing a part two of these, of this, probably like the week of Detroit, right before he starts, and kind of cover the next like 4 weeks of riding. So this is like the first 3 weeks of riding, the first like three, kind of technically fourth week if next week if you count Christmas. But so I'm kind of just talking up to this point what we're doing, and then the part two is going to be after Christmas for the remaining time before Detroit. So the weekly training structure while he's down there is, you know, so it's going to start on Monday. Mondays, the model is going to be, it's a high intensity day. So we're going to be doing, he'll start each session with like a free practice session. That will be his warm up. Then from there, we're going to hop right into sprint work. I believe in doing sprint work first when you're fresh so that you can actually sprint and throw down your highest quality work when you're the most fresh. After that, we'll be doing basically motos. And these motos are going to be pretty much the vault, like the same kind of capacity as like a heat race would be. So there's going to be multiple sprints that he'll do, and there'll be multiple motos that he'll do. And that may not sound like a lot, and like the amount of motos and sprints, I'm not going to get into details because we kind of auto-regulate that as well. But that's kind of more comes down to like day-to-day, like how's the track, how's he feeling? A lot of like different, there's different parameters set up in place. So I don't want to get into that. But that's the high intensity day. So after this is like, it's actually a hard day for him. It should take a lot out. That's why it's a high intensity day. Tuesday, I like to follow high low model when it comes to training splits, especially if you're training like more than three times a week. The high low model just works. You can even get into like high medium low models, but pretty much like high low is pretty standard. So Tuesday will then become a low day because Monday was high. So what that turns into is he'll start his workout, his practice with starts. Then we'll break the track up into sections. And the sections are going to be, I had him split the track up in thirds. So he'll spend X amount of time on one section of the track. And then he'll move to another third of the track, and he'll spend X amount of time on that. Then it'd basically be the next moto. He'll spend another moto on the third part of the track. And then just for extra volume, because whoops are so critical, we end that workout, that riding session with another so many runs in the whoops. So that could be like another 8 to 10 reps just through the whoops, just to accumulate practice and preparation for whoops at Supercross. And now we followed, I kind of talked about a medium intensity. If you really wanted to kind of get critical, Wednesday, the plan was to not ride and then do your gym workout on Wednesday. So Wednesday, you can almost, you can really count that as like a low medium day. It doesn't really, there's a lot of like variation of way to do that. For Jeremy, some of the workouts would be low, some would be medium for what we're doing right now, just to maintain his fitness. All of his really high intensity work right now is coming on the bike, and that's because his physical prep's in a good spot. And like I said, we're not stressed on it, we're just maintaining it. But where we need to really push is these 8 weeks heading into Supercross of his actual sports skill. So Thursday, we're back to a high day. And again, it looks just like the Monday session where we're going to do sprints and motos. The motos, again, are going to be heat race capacity. So it's like, think of like a 5 minute free practice. Then it'll be just strictly sprint work, the sprint work for him right now is just looking to be like one lap, and then you do full recovery. And then before you do another sprint. Motos, again, they're about a heat race simulation at the moment. And again, that volume just kind of dictates how he's feeling for the week. Again, there's sort of a minimum and a maximum parameters that he can follow. Friday, back to a low day. Again, that low day just sort of repeats Tuesday. Starts, sections again, whoops. Saturday, it would be another low medium day, which would be a gym workout. And then Sunday is completely off. So, you know, that's the first 3 weeks. And then the week one, the high days, though, like the very first week, because I said he didn't want to do, well, he's been on the bike, but we did not do any sprint work the first week with those high days on week one. He started the sprint work actually on week two and week three. And the reason we did that is I don't like throwing sprint work in until there's some sort of an accumulation phase to, before he's starting to throw down as fast as he could, like basically heater laps. So basically just, it's more based on his safety. I think it would be irresponsible to hop on a supercross track, and just let him kind of get his feet under himself for week one before we hop into sprint work. And to be honest, it worked out really good. He was ready the first week, you know, it was just like, hey, getting his feet back underneath him. And then week two, he felt good enough to go right into sprint work. Now, obviously, like, there's different considerations. Like, this model, it does fluctuate. They did have a lot of rain down in Florida, especially, like, I think last week there was a ton of storms. And certain days had to get adjusted. You have to, like, flip things around. And, you know, it doesn't work out exactly on paper, but you have to have some sort of plan to be ready. And then you just kind of adjust. Like, me and him basically talked on a daily basis, just touch base, you know, hey, what's going on? A couple of the days the track was really rough, so we had to adjust a little bit there. Just, you know, little minor tweaks along the way. And that's, you know, again, that's what coaching's for. It's to help you kind of navigate those situations and take the pressure off and make those, you know, it's nice having an awesome plan up front and kind of packaging it and making it look all nice and pretty. But then the execution part, you know, needs to, that's kind of more the in the trenches work of actually making it happen in real life. I also, what we're doing is something what we call a short to long approach. So this is more like an approach you learn from like track and field with like sprinters. And we actually start off with short bouts of higher intensity work leading to longer bouts of high intensity work. So if you're out of shape and or have been off the bike, you'll need to do a long to short approach, as you truly won't be able to like be ready for the short to long approach that we're doing right now. And I believe the short to long approach is the better way to go, because you can kind of skip that like accumulation phase of preparing to train. And we can get away with that because Jeremy stays in shape, like I said earlier, like all year round, and he's been on the bike riding. So we can basically hop right into higher intensity work just after like that first initial week, like the first four riding sessions. And then boom, like we hopped in right into week two doing sprint work. And then from there, we can use that intensity and then build volume on top of the intensity leading all the way up to Detroit. So like, you know, basically in part two here, we're going to basically take like, hey, we're building up the intensity now. And then like the second half of the preseason, that last 4 week push, we're going to start to try to take that intensity and add volume to it. Whereas a long to short approach, it works, it's okay, but you really need to accumulate a lot of volume first, seat time, and basically specific and general fitness, just depending on what they need. And that could be like 4 to 8 weeks before you can really get into a good quality like of fitness to where you can actually produce the high intensity work that you know you're capable of. And you know, if you have the time to do it, that's fine. But, you know, you have to kind of look at it like, hey, you're going to take at least 4 weeks to get ready to train hard. And then once you are able to train hard, it's like, well, hey, I got to be able to do that for like 20 minutes. And then you have to stack volume again. To whereas if you just stay in shape, you stay kind of ready, you don't let yourself go to, you know, wither away and you kind of like leave the lifestyle of racing and check out for a minute. If you don't do that, you don't have to go through these longer accumulation phases just to build the volume up so you can start riding hard again. Because if you go too hard too soon when you're not prepared, you know, your riding is going to suffer like severely from bad arm pump. You're going to have poor quality like riding technique because you're not going to be riding as sharp. And again, all that just leads to increasing the risk of injury if you're not ready to handle that workload yet. So that's why physical prep is so important. That's why having an annual plan is so important, so that, you know, you can just make adjustments through the year. There's certain times, like right now, Jeremy's pushing. He's pushing to get ready for Supercross. Once Supercross happens, then we're going to shift more into an in-season type phase where he's going to focus on staying fresh, staying healthy, staying sharp before we have to get ready for outdoors. So hopefully this all made sense. I know like the short to long and the long to short approach, that stuff can kind of be a little confusing. But, you know, just take that as like a grain of salt, and just kind of wanted to like give you a little bit of like an actual real world example of, like, you know, obviously I get on here and I talk about a lot of stuff, but I kind of wanted to talk about it in like a real world setting, like how this stuff actually gets carried out, and how I approach it all as a coach. Not everybody does it my way. Probably, you know, some people may say like it sounds similar, but you know, we all have our certain kind of tendencies of how we want to approach training. This is mine. I'm a very big believer in loading your training up with quality first. And once you have good quality of training, then you can keep accumulating intensity and volume on top of it. And that's really the basis of my belief is the quality comes first, and then everything else, then you can have fun with the intensity, volume, and really like, you know, pushing the human body to doing really cool and great things. So hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Like I said, I plan on doing a part two. I think it would be pretty cool. And yeah, I think we're going to get through Christmas here, push for another 4 weeks. And hopefully the week of Detroit, when that comes up, hopefully I can drop another podcast before that happens. And then yeah, we go racing and we find out, you know, see what happens. So you just basically just do all this preparation to give yourself a chance, the best chance you got, to hopefully get, you know, the best results you've had. Jeremy's had some good results in the past few years. He's had like a sixth place finish in a main in a 250 class. The super motocross, I think he really started turning some heads that, like, hey, he is for real. He's not going away. He is in his mid-20s. But, you know, he's really starting to hit his stride in Supercross. And, you know, every year he looks a little bit more comfortable and comfortable on it. He proved to everybody that he could ride motocross really good a few years ago. But now he's really, I think, kind of like wanting to prove himself that he could do Supercross as well and just be a really well-rounded rider. So with that, I mean, yeah, give him a follow. He's a great fantasy pick if you play Pulp MX. but yeah, you know, go Jeremy Han and go JYT hopefully. And, yeah, hopefully see you in the next episode, which would be, part two of Supercross prep. All right. Take care.